clothed with humanity, God's Son gave his body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and power of sin. Now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the anointing one, the anointed one, living his life in us. And we are free to live not according to our flesh, but according to the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves, but those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the sense and reason of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of him. Now Christ lives in his life in you. Even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, then we taste abundant life. Thank you, Jesus, for your body.
It's not easy when it's all one way. You're not sharing that experience of worship, but that's wonderful. Very encouraging. Thank you so much. Beautiful harmonies. I love it. Keep it up. Well, welcome again today, and it's great to see you, and I hope you all came through lockdown okay, and some of us really enjoyed it. Some of us still had to work really hard, so we all have a very different experience of it. Can I remind you that we have our church family camp? Yay, it's coming up soon, really about in 9 weeks' time. So please get your deposits in, and just so we know how to organise everyone in terms of accommodation. If you've got issues or needs for specific types of accommodation too, come and see me and we'll see what we can figure out. But it will be a wonderful, wonderful time in the October long weekend. So looking forward to it, to spend time as a family away together in beautiful Victor Harbour. Today too, I hope you've already received a bookmark as you came in today. And if you haven't, they're at the door and we'd love you to get one. And on it are the 5 points that we've been speaking about that we have sensed God give us through some prayer meetings earlier in the year. And it's a great reminder as we look at those and we think, God, wow, you've got no boundaries, Lord. What does that mean for me right now in my situation? How can I make more room for you, Jesus, right now today as I'm meeting with this friend of mine? So put it somewhere where you can refer to it, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. So today we are starting a new series that we're going to continue on for the next 8 weeks, 8 or 9 weeks, till we get to the camp. And basically the whole series is going to be about what does well-being look like in the kingdom of God. Well-being is a bit of a buzzword, really. You hear it everywhere. You have well-being officers in organisations now. As chaplains, we're not a part of a chaplaincy sort of team, but about the we're part of the well-being organisation part of the university. So I wonder if well-being really does it apply to us? You know, we've been hearing some great scripture that we've been brought into the kingdom. We're new creations. We've got it all. Surely we're already as well-being as we can be, one would think. But something that To and I and as a community, something that we hold quite dear to us and something that's been a part of our journey as Marion Vineyard is something called emotional healthy spirituality and the need to have not just the spiritual side right, but who we are on the inside, our emotional part. Now, I wanted to just put some current sort of statistics. We all love statistics, don't we? Maybe not studying it. Sometimes they're interesting results. But this is from the, now who was it from? The Australian Institute of Family Counselling. And I'm going to show you some later statistics. And I'm not doing it to try and put a heavy on us, but it's just the reality of the world that we're in right now. Oh, hang on. Yes, I turned it off. I'll turn it on. So, and they actually put it up there for pastors to be aware of because it sort of points to the needs that are also within fellowships. But there is obviously an increase, 1 million, an increase of 1 million people in the last 3 years, each year, that will experience some sort of mental or behavioural condition. Unfortunately, we're seeing it's affecting all age groups. Here we have teenagers, 1 in 10 reported that they have self-harmed. 20% of girls can feel depressed at times and lots of other issues. So I guess with such a high frequency of a statistic like that and that information, straight away it must make us think, well, if I get to experience something like this, well, it seems like there are a lot of other people that are too. If you're not, you probably know someone who is. So it's good for us to be aware because it's either we're having to deal with it or we might want to help someone else who is. What will that encompass? So we want to talk about a bit about that today. And Christians aren't immune to feeling sad, depressed, anxious, and we see that in scripture, don't we? There's so much that's talking about or encouraging us not to be anxious. Why is that? Because we can get anxious. Don't be fearful. We don't have a spirit of fear or of timidity, but of love, power. And a sound mind. Love blank and a sound mind it was today. That's right. So God knows how we're made. And he knows that we can be susceptible to some of these things. Some of the material that I'll be referring to today is from a guy called Peter Scazzaro. His wife Jerry's also written a book too, and they've got quite a few. This one is just the first one, the emotional healthy spirituality. We've got a few copies too, so if anyone would like to grab a copy and read, it's a very good read. But their main thesis or idea is that to be emotionally healthy, it's great, it's not enough. To be spiritually alive to God, having a relationship to God is great, but it's not enough. It's when we combine the two that something wonderful is unleashed and we can go into a much deeper transformation and discipleship walk with both. It's impossible to be spiritually mature while emotionally immature. We need both. It's always good to look to see, what did Jesus say about this sort of stuff? When he was asked, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? His response was, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul. And the word there for soul means your will, your ability to choose, and your emotions, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second's like it: love your neighbour as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So Jesus is saying, if you want to love God well, if you want to love yourself well, if you want to love others well, it's going to take all of who you are: your heart, your will, your emotional self, your mind, all of who you are to do that. So again, we think, well, this is before Pentecost, before the Spirit came, but we're new creations now, surely we have it all. But even as new creations, Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, and he says this: may God himself — now he's speaking to Christians, he's speaking to new creations — may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify, which means to purify and to cleanse, you through and through. May your whole spirit, your whole soul and body be kept blameless without fault at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is speaking to us as a whole person again, isn't he? And he's wanting us to be spiritually mature. He wants us to be emotionally healthy, and as well as using our bodies in a pure way. And all of this is a process called sanctification. We all have all of God in us, and we're all freed from sin. We're all freed from the power of sin. So now it's up to us to choose every day to walk by faith and obedience to God's truth, to God's way, to keep aligning ourselves with his truth for who we are, as Scripture tells us. And this is what we need to do, is to flesh out the spiritual reality that we have already in its fullness through Jesus Christ. So it's up to us now to walk it out, to help, to partner with God and say, yeah, I want to clean up my act in every way possible, because you've made it possible now. And that's called sanctification. We're in a process of doing that. So it's great. So you don't have to feel like you have to have it all together today. Isn't that a relief? I'm so relieved. Another great scripture is from Psalm. Psalm 101, verse 2. Just one line. It says, I'll be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? Talking to God. I will walk in my house with blameless heart. So a blameless, as I've got up there, means completeness, fullness. Basically, what you see on the outside is what I am on the inside. I'm the real deal through and through. I want to be blameless all the way through. And walk in my house with a blameless heart. Again, heart in Hebrew there is referring to the inner man. The will, the seat of your emotions and your passions. So again, it's your emotional life. And this is pretty amazing, because this person is saying, not just when I'm out in full view of everyone else, but when I'm in my home behind closed doors where no one can see me, I'm going to be the same person. The person that you see here is that person. I'm going to be that same person. And for a lot of us, often is in the case. We might go out and when we're home, we're feeling not so great. We might get angry. We might have tantrums. We might show ourselves to be someone to our loved ones that we wouldn't really show anyone else. And when we come outside, hi, how are you? I'm good. You're good? I'm good. But this psalmist is saying, no, I really want to be the real deal. And that's what God wants for us too, to be the real deal wherever we are, fully in submission to the goodness of God. So How are you going with that? Does your external match your internal? I love this little picture here, this dear housewife. Oh, she's all smiles. I'm okay. But did you know stressed, spelt backwards, is desserts? I'm holding this dessert. I love you. I do. But you can't hear me saying that if I hear one more criticism, this dessert might end somewhere else. So sometimes, great, it's cute. You know, we can be all smiles, but sometimes what's going on the inside doesn't really match. And it's good for us to be aware of that too. You know, we might meet people who are all smiles. You know, ask Holy Spirit, what's happening with this person? Are they okay? Because they're not always okay. That's why we have Are You Okay Day. You know, the government actually has to step in and say, let's do this, because we actually need to be aware that what is on the outside isn't always reflective of what's on the inside. So it's good to know that. And I see that too when I'm at university or talking with people, or even as a pastor. I mean, we all do. I'm often quite wary of people who are very happy but very busy. So it's like they keep so busy, they don't want to be still enough sometimes, I think, because when they're still, they'll have to be with themselves and what really they're feeling and be alone with God, and that can be a hard thing. So, yes, my antennas go up when I sense that, and I think, okay, God, what do you want to say? How can we bring peace to this situation? We also see some horrific, it's sad. You know, we see church leaders that have had a huge international platform, and then we find that actually when they're behind closed doors, some terrible things have been going on. It's so sad. And these are the things that we don't see are the things that can shipwreck our life and shipwreck the lives of others as well. When our inner world is not in sync with our exterior behaviour, we have a gap. The Bible has a word for this gap, and a term that Jesus repeatedly used towards religious leaders. A bit heavy. The word is hypocrisy. And that word literally means play acting. Play it pretending. Play acting. A verse we see that pertains to this is, whoopsie doopsie. Jesus, the top one up there. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. So what they say, but what they do, different. Don't do that. He was really out against anyone that was hypocritical, because he came to say, hey guys, you've all been about external stuff, obeying the law and works, but I'm here to shine a light on your hearts, because that's what God is seeing. And that's what the next verse is from 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. I love this verse, 16, verse 7. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And Jesus spoke to the heart of people, and he continues to speak to us through Holy Spirit. He's looking at our hearts. How are our hearts today? This iceberg, I don't know, what does it say on the top? If we want to go beyond shallow discipleship, we need to go deeper beneath the surface. Very important. It's what is submerged, the stuff that we can't see, and it's 90% of an iceberg. It's that part that does the damage. Did anyone watch the movie The Titanic? It didn't look so bad, that iceberg, but underneath it was bulging right out, and that's where it dug into the ship and down she went. It's what we can't see that can shipwreck our lives. And most people do shipwreck their lives or live inconsistent lives because of the forces and the motivations beneath the surface of their lives, which they may have never considered. Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Everything you do flows from what's in your heart. We can only minister out of who we are. You know, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's what's in here. What are we harbouring? What are we building up in our inner man, in our emotions, in our hearts, so that as we minister, as we speak, as we want to impact positively in other people's lives, we can do that. How are we going to do that? Sometimes we're not always aware either. Many of us are self-conscious. You know, you want to make sure you get things right because we get all, you know, a bit self-conscious and fearful. But often we're not self-aware of what's really going on inside. Have you listened to the self-talk that goes on inside? You know, we have to give it time so we actually know what's actually going on inside of us. We need to be in touch with our inner life and our emotions. So if we're not doing that, what could be the hindrances, or why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we do that? What do you think? What do you think? I think sometimes when I've talked to Christians about this, they think, oh, this is just psychology. It's not spiritual. We don't want to talk about this stuff. It's all a lie. If it's just psychology, that's human stuff. We want God's stuff. Well, we can already see from Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica that actually, no, the process of sanctification isn't just spiritual, your spirit, but your will and your emotions, your heart, your soul. God wants that. He wants to grab that, and that's the part that we're talking about. There's also an impact, especially for Western education, Western mindset, which has originated back in Plato's time. 400 years before Jesus walked the earth, he was a Greek philosopher, and he introduced something called dualism. I'm not going to go into that too much. Dualism, two things, and he gave a value. He assigned value. So there could be, what did I write down here? Logic and emotions, like two opposites, and he would assign a value. Well, logic's good. Emotions, not good. Man and woman. Men were the centre of the universe. Of course, they still are. Men, good. Women, no. So there was this value that was placed on these, you know, dualistic type thinking, and we have inherited that. So we inherited this idea that emotion... It's good. I guess we see it in the English, and that's where Australians come from. Very stoic, don't really show a lot of emotion, and it's leaked into Christianity too. You know, there'll be not here, but in some expressions of the church, there might not be so much passion, or we might not feel it's really appropriate to really go, "Yay, Jesus," with passion and with great emotion. That same person, however, if you took them to their local soccer or football game, they might have a lot of emotion, but for some reason it didn't quite come into their experience of church. Sometimes we might feel like, yeah, I'm not feeling that great and I don't really want to talk about it because to me it's... there's stigma related to it from the way I've been brought up, the culture I've been grown up in, and I see this a lot with international students talking, and even some Australian students too. You know, I've got to show that I've got it all together, and if I don't, it's not good. No one knows what to do about that, and I won't be seen as functional, and I won't be accepted. So they can put away. I don't want to think about my emotions. church culture also can play a big part. You know, there might be some experiences of church where, yes, I can walk in joy and I can walk in victory, and that means I'm walking in faith and equates to faith. If I'm walking and I'm feeling depressed and finding it hard, then I might be questioned about, well, where's your faith? But that isn't really scriptural, is it? Because, again, why would there be scriptures about being anxious if that wasn't going to be an experience of our life? We see the psalmists and Lamentations pouring out their heart to God. The fact that they're pouring it out to God shows they've got faith, because they know who is the great healer. But I might not be experiencing that right now, and that's fine. But for some experiences of church, that hasn't been your experience. And so it's difficult to share life with others. But, you know, in James it talks about confess to one another so that you might be healed. Let's live transparent lives with one another, open and honest of where we're at. And for some of us too, we might feel shame and embarrassment that, oh, I'm really finding life tough. I know I told you that last week, and I feel like it now, and I feel like I should have it all together, and I feel like if I tell you, it's just terrible, and I feel ashamed. God doesn't do that. He doesn't bring shame. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He set us free for freedom. And sometimes we're in a process of that. And we have to each day agree and take that promise. Say, yes, Lord, I am free in Christ. Yes, Lord, I'm going to give you all my concerns again today. You know, God is asking us to walk with him in partnership and in agreement to the beautiful truth that he's given us. And he's done everything that we might have that truth to agree and partner with, hasn't he? And, you know, sometimes we might have a funny view about Jesus too. You know, when we see pictures of Jesus, I don't know what you've seen. Let me see. Well, this, yes. Oh, and another one. Here we go. Lovely. Sort of very, oh, no emotion. Everything's in control, as though Jesus was like that all the time. But when we read about scripture, he had the full range of emotions. He was unashamed of his emotions. He was unembarrassed by them, and he lived life. He shed tears. He was filled with joy. We've got scriptural references if you'd like them later. He grieved. He was angry. Sadness came over him. He felt compassion. He felt sorrow. He showed astonishment. Oh! He showed astonishment and wonder. Oh, I'm so full of wonder. Wonder. And he felt distress. Oh, yes, Jesus, we know what you feel. Fantastic. And sorrowful. And distress. There we go. Fantastic. So Jesus was anything. He was not an emotionally frozen Messiah. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Ooh, what does that say about God? Ooh, God is not unaware of how we're made. He knows how we're made. And we're made in his image. Awesome. I love this picture. We're made in his image. Emotions are a way God moves in us and how we respond to the world. Oh, we can move passionately and with joy to the world. I love this picture of Jesus. You know, I love Hebrews chapter 1. It talks about the angels, and Jesus is above his friends, the angels, and God set him above and apart from the angels by anointing him with the oil of joy. Jesus is full of joy. Ah, hallelujah, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Love that. So, great. So I'm making this great point. Emotional health is important. So, Maria, how do we actually do that? I'm so glad you asked. What do I actually have to do to be emotionally healthy? Well, let's have a look at some things. It's being able to name and recognize and manage our own feelings, being aware of what's going on the inside. Being able to be aware of others, having compassion for them. So being self-aware, the first one, being other-aware. Being able to initiate and maintain close and meaningful relationships. To being able to break free from destructive patterns that you might see in your life. Being aware of how our past impacts our present. Doesn't say that's who we are. It's not our identity. But how it impacts us right now so that we can move forward. Developing and the capacity to express our thoughts and feelings clearly, both verbally and non-verbally. And that's as opposed to holding them in. Holding them in, oh yeah, you're really annoying me, but I can't tell you, and then out it explodes. So being able to express. Being able to respect and love others without having to change them. I know for spouses this is very difficult, but we learn. And yes, to respect others. And that's what we talk about here at AFL, accept and forgive and love as Jesus Christ has accepted and forgiven us. Can we make room in our heart for others to accept them where they're at right now? To be able to ask clearly for what we need or want or prefer directly and respectfully. So rather than not actually asking what we need clearly, we might actually avoid that altogether and we never, you know, actually care for ourselves that way, or we go aggressively at it and saying, you need to do this for me. So neither of those, but be assertive, being able to have that self-confidence, think, yes, I know what I need and I can ask for that. To accurately self-assess yourself, your strength, your limitations, your weaknesses, and freely sharing them with others. So not too high and not too low either. And that's where community or church is so important, that we get to find out who we are and we get our weaknesses, or not our weaknesses, our strengths, hopefully, encouraged. Wow, you're really good at that. Why don't you do that again? Fantastic. To learn the capacity to resolve conflict maturely and to negotiate solutions that consider the perspectives of others. Conflict's a really interesting one. Oh, we didn't do conflict. What happened? Sex came up instead. Oh, well, there you go. But that's good. Yes, we'll get to the other one in a minute. All right. So, so managing conflict, often that happens. We learn conflict from how our parents, really, or how our caregivers, whoever they might have been, solved conflict. We sort of learn that as a child and we bring that into our adulthood. Sometimes it's great, often it's not, and it's something we need to look at. And all of these, obviously, are areas that we can expound, and I will expound some more next week, but they're fantastic to be aware of. Oh, I should have done. And so the sexuality one. You're all hanging for that one, weren't you? Obviously, it's knowing how and when is appropriate for allowing our sexuality to be expressed. When is that okay and when is it not? And grieving well. And that's not just when someone dies. It's really about any loss. You know, sometimes when you move from one place to another, you might lose a friendship permanently, or and that's a loss. Or, you know, I know for international students or for anyone that's migrated, sometimes you've come here, not really your decision, and there might be a sense of loss of what you don't have now from back home. And that's good to recognise that. And that, yeah, that's a reality. Lord, you know, at least be aware. And then you've got somewhere to start with, to bring that to the Lord, to ask. Now, it's 10 to 5, and I want to point out a few other things, but I'd like you just in this moment just to think, this is interesting up here. Which one of these qualities do you think you would like to develop more as I've been highlighting those. Maybe just tell the person next to you, we're all on a journey. I reckon this one's really stuck out to me today. You've got 60 seconds.
No, the pressure.
Joe, I think Hannah would like to, behind you, diagonally back. Thanks. That might be something you can talk about over a cuppa at the end a bit more. But it's good to be aware of, maybe you haven't thought of some of these things that it's good to be aware of that are happening on the inside of us. So, emotional health is really important. Spiritual or contemplative spirituality or spiritual maturity is off always and obvious important as well. So let's have a look at some of that. So we're talking about our relationship with God. A beautiful quote here, contemplative spirituality has been defined by Brother Lawrence. Some of you would have read books by him. And his definition about spirituality is the pure loving gaze that finds God everywhere. The pure loving gaze that finds God everywhere. I love that. No matter where we are, what we're doing, God is with us, in us, and a part of what's going on. And so with this, we want to also think about some aspects of our relationship with God. So again, these might be some aspects that you might not have thought about and think, I could work on this. Oh, see, look, I'm just so good. Okay. First of all, so we want to be awakened and surrendered to God's love in any and every situation. We want to be able to commune with God, allowing him to fully indwell the depth of our being. Fantastic. We want to position ourselves to hear God and remember his presence in all that we do. Fantastic, fantastic truths, aren't they? Whoops, oh look, see they delay. Practice silence, solitude and a life of unceasing prayer. That could be a bit of a challenge, I reckon, in today's fast pace. For those that have a fast pace, some of us are a bit slower in their pace, which is very nice that they have that opportunity. So different ones of these will be a challenge for us and others may not. Resting attentively in the presence of God. So I see this as not a passive thing, like, oh good, God's here. It's resting, but attentive to, there's an active awareness that God's with you in that rest. You're resting in him. It's not just rest on its own. Understanding our earthly life as a journey of transformation, there's that sanctification again, toward ever-increasing union with God. We're just getting deeper and deeper. That's what we're aiming for, deeper and deeper connection with God. finding the true essence of who we are in God. So our identity not being in what we do, but in who to whom we belong. Developing a balanced and harmonious rhythm of life that enables us to be aware of the sacred in all of life. Resting and doing nothing is also sacred. We don't have to feel guilty if we're having a slow time. That's great. And allow our Christian lives to be shaped by the rhythms of the Christian calendar rather than the culture. So it's great when we can make space to meet together as community rather than getting caught up with all the other busy things. I'm getting time. And the last one was living in committed community. Live in a community that is passionately loves Jesus. We need each other. So again, I hope that you may look at those and feel the one that you identify with or the one that really speaks to you today. Which one of these would you want to develop more? So to end, I want to reinforce that, yes, we want to be emotionally healthy. It's important that we reflect what's happening on the inside of us, together with that ongoing relationship with God that is real, that is intimate, that is growing and going deeper. And it's a process of growth that we're all called to be in. And as we do that, it unleashes the Holy Spirit inside us in order that we might know experientially the power of an authentic life in Christ. How wonderful and exciting. Let's really press in for the more of this life in Christ. Can I just invite you to stand? I think we might just, I just want to say a prayer over you. And we'll close with a song. So maybe the worship team, maybe choose one song. Yeah. We thank you, God. God, I love the way that when you call us to life, it's real life. It's nothing that, it's not pretend life. It's the real thing where we fully experience the joy and the passion and the excitement and the wonder of the life that you've called us to. That's what life is meant to be like, Lord, and that's what you call us to. And we're all in a process, Lord. We don't always feel like that all the time, and you know that. You know how we're made. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you in right now in this space, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, would you make the kingdom of God, bring the kingdom of God and unleash it here this afternoon and make manifest the kingdom reality of life here in this place today, Lord, and in our lives. Lord, as I've been sharing different aspects about our inner life and our life with you, Lord, Lord, would you draw us to those things that you're wanting us to grow in? Lord, would you speak to us? And you do that with encouragement and with love. You don't shame us. It's nothing about that. You love us, and that love will never change. It doesn't matter what we do or don't do. Your love for us is white hot. So you're out for our good. You want to see us flourish. With you, we are totally safe. We can trust you with every part of who we are.